let's get to our pal from Las Vegas. You hear him on the Bet the Board podcast, and of course, you visit him online on townstake.com. Mr. Todd Furman. Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm doing well. Gentlemen, there's an adage that I ascribe to in the gambling business. When you lose, say little. When you win, say even less. So it's good to see Steve relatively humble, and I put the relatively with a caveat attached to it.
thank you.
Todd, is it weird that we live in a world where Sam Bradford's like 3 or 4 points?
I think it's always interesting when you watch how the market responds to a starting quarterback that's put on the shelf. This number, though, opened 4 in some spots, 6.5 in others, ultimately settled at 5.5 in the middle of the week. Before the price started to leak out, it gets to 7, and that's where books really started to panic this morning, pushing the number out as high as, we'll call it 9.5, the consensus. I see that's what SIA has right now. But the real question is, where was the movement based just on Bradford alone? Was it professional money that pushed it up and books wanted to move 2.5 points, or did they not factor in the movement that we were starting to see earlier in the week? I think oftentimes with a situation like this, it creates value the other way. And when this number did get to 10 in some locations, you immediately saw resistance coming in on the underdog.
Well, that's interesting you should say that, Todd, because Phil Gray messaged me during this move, and he says, where is this Pittsburgh money coming from? Because he's seeing nothing but Minnesota spread and money line. And then all of a sudden, it's announced that Bradford's inactive and the number jumps up to 9.5, 10. Is there a possibility that there is information out there that's not available to the public that would cause a line move like this? Because he really didn't know where it was coming from.
Phil's got to start listening to the Bet the Board podcast when we talked about it on Thursday about how there might be a little bit of injury information starting to leak out. We actually went under 23 pretty early in the week. Didn't really have strong feelings on the side. And then you saw it start to become a little bit more major news on Friday that he was dealing with an MRI, you know, had his knee an MRI. There was a little bit of strain there. And I don't even know this morning when it became officially announced that he was going to be inactive. But you did see the market start to leak at about 6 a.m. Pacific time. And that was really the tipping point going, somebody out there knows something. And the information will become pretty public in the short time.
Yeah, somebody obviously knew something. Todd, I'd like to talk about the L.A. Chargers, and it's very good that I actually remembered they're the L.A. Chargers. How is the home or non-home field?
He took his medicine today.
Yeah, and home or non-home field advantage for a stadium that's 30,000 people, hasn't been sold out. Chargers have never been there. I mean, we usually talk about the standard home field advantage being in the neighborhood of 3 points. I mean, there's been a debate on that. How are they factoring in that home field advantage for the Chargers?
Well, I feel as far as calling them San Diego or L.A., you get till about week 4. That's where your free pass kind of ends, because I've done it plenty myself, Steve, so I echo those same thoughts in terms of trying to figure out their exact location. It's interesting when you look at the Chargers now, because you can make the case for the last 5 to 7 years at minimum they were in San Diego. There was no home field advantage there either when you saw teams like the Steelers or the Bears come into town. Now, I know Miami doesn't travel quite as well, but there are a lot of residents that were misplaced because of the hurricane that have made the trip out to Southern California. There's thoughts that it's going to be maybe a third Dolphins fans in attendance for this game, which is ironic because they don't come to their own home games in their own building. I think you guys have to take a wait-and-see approach to figure out exactly what the baseline will look like for home field advantage. This number, guys, on a look-ahead would have been 3.5. Markets, for whatever reason, open at 5, and you immediately saw some Dolphin money. An injury in the Chargers secondary to Verrett changes the dynamic a little bit, and unlike some folks out there, I think Jay Cutler's ability to stretch the field gives Miami another tool in their arsenal to take advantage of opposing defenses more than the dink-and-dunk style of Ryan Tannehill.
Todd, there's two games with massive points for the home side, and I'm talking about the Raiders game and the Seahawks game. Now, when I throw out those numbers and say I'm not really scared of those numbers, Steve Rapp is terrified and hides under the desk. Which one of us are you siding on? Because when you're facing the Jets and you're facing the 49ers, it's a tier two, tier three team that they're facing, and I'm the double-digit numbers don't scare me, especially since they're at home.
Well, it's really an old-school mentality where I was always conditioned that anytime you get double digits in the NFL, it doesn't matter what the names say on the jersey. You should be trained to try and take those points because there wasn't such a disparity in talent level. As we move forward and there's a lot more high-profile passing attacks, Some of that old school wisdom has kind of been thrown out the window. And for me, I don't feel comfortable in the least backing either the Jets or 49ers this weekend. The 49ers, I'd be less inclined to even consider when you factor in how bad Seattle looked to open the season against Green Bay. They've owned the 49ers in their building, winning the last three meetings by north of 20 points per game, and I think you could see more of the same. The problem I have with these two games, though, when you look at these low totals, it puts a real premium on laying two touchdowns. Maybe you get an early field goal from the 49ers or the Jets, and you have a chance to lay a better number live. Again, I want no part of the underdogs, but I'm not running to the window to try and bet either double-digit favorites.
Todd, the Giants are open 3.5 points. We're now seeing 3 minus 20 on Monday night against Detroit. If Beckham Jr. Is announced that he's playing, where does this number go, and has the fact that he's playing or not playing been factored into this line yet?
That has definitely played a role here. You saw some books use an opener as high as 5, which is a little bit aggressive. Others hung the number at 3, and that's kind of where we sat. You did see some under money come in earlier in the week, and that was amid speculation that even if Odell's out there, I don't think he'll be anything close to 100% when you read everything that this is a 6 to 8 week injury as far as recovery, and he's barely a month in. So I think you will see the market respond. If Odell Beckham is upgraded to probable, this number could go to 3.5, maybe even 4. At the same time, you'll have a group of professional bettors looking to try and take the underdog. But that being said, I think this is a buy low opportunity for the Giants, so you don't want to short that stock. I'd be more inclined to look at this total and try and make a case to go under, especially in the first half, while the Giants are still trying to figure things out on that offensive line.
Todd Furman of the Bet the Board podcast, and of course, toddstake.com, joining us here on Sports Interactions Inside the Lines along the Sportsnet radio network. Speaking of totals, Todd, that New England at New Orleans game right now sitting at 55 on Sports Interaction. It's come down a little bit. Is that a game where you just anticipate the total to fly over, or is there some value at 55 on the under right now?
Well, I know I talked about this total and me thinking that it could be one of the highest that we were going to see in NFL history. The more reading I did during the course of the week failed to incorporate some of the injuries that New England's dealing with in their receiving core. And some of the quotes that have said the Patriots are looking to play more of a ball control type of game instead of getting into a firefight with the New Orleans Saints team, who we know is more than happy to go up and down the field. That being said, I'm not going to make a case for going under 55 between these two teams anytime soon, and especially won't be today. I think if one of these two teams gets a 2-touchdown lead at any point, you're going to see the other throw caution entirely to the wind, and you could see them chucking it all over the yard. I think this is a very fair number with a chance to go over. This will be one of the largest decisions I've been told for sports books of the early session. People really buying into the Patriots bounce back. More than happy to lay the 6 with extra time to prepare for Bill Belichick and company.
Todd, one that interests me a little bit is we talked a lot last season about sharp money continually back the Cleveland Browns week after week after week, and Cleveland just giving them nothing but grief. We're seeing Cleveland cover last week against Pittsburgh. We're seeing them again in the division today, taking 8 points. Is this a Cleveland team now in the division? I know we usually like to take points within the division. This a Cleveland team you could back taking 8 points against the Baltimore offense? It's not fantastic.
A blind fade of the Cleveland Browns recently would have paid handsome dividends if you go back. They're on a stretch right now where they're 1-10-1 against the spread in their last 12 against the AFC North. Now, they are on a one-game winning streak right now, so something to build on. If you tell me, Steve, in this game that DeShone Kizer and Cleveland doesn't turn the ball over and create short fields for the Ravens, this is a ton of points for a Joe Flacco-led offense that I think really lacks pop. Flacco didn't stretch the field more than 15 yards last week, and I think you could see more of the same, them leaning on the ground game. With a total this low and being able to take over 7, if you're inclined to bet this, I'd much rather have a ticket on the underdog than I would the favorite.
Todd, what's making your ticket today? What's making your card as far as week number 2?
I have a couple of totals. We broke down Minnesota-Pittsburgh in great detail this week on the Bet the Board podcast. Made a case for going under 23 there. Arguably one of the grossest dogs that you can bet, given them coming off of the debacle last week in Southern California. I have a ticket on the Indianapolis Colts plus 7.5, a game I do not intend to watch. We'll track, and I'll keep my fingers crossed that Jacoby Brissett can get them to the window, more so a play against Arizona, an opportunity to bet a home underdog that was absolutely embarrassed in their home opener.
Todd, for people who are new to putting some wagers down on the National Football League, how do you fight the temptation of week 1 and not overreacting to what you saw in week 1 when you place your bet in week 2?
you have to really trust the research and the prep work that you've put in during the off season. And I think if you don't do that and you go, well, I'm going to wait until I see these teams on the field, then you're prone to definitely overreacting to the things you've seen in a limited sample size. Whereas unless there's a major injury to key contributors, I think you go, you know, I trust the research I did in July and August. A team didn't look good week one. What was the reason? Was it turnovers? Was it field position? Try and dig into why those scores may not have meshed with your preconceived notions. Take advantage of that and look for an odds maker overreaction. That being said, guys, I don't see a ton outside of Arizona, Indianapolis, where odds makers really let last week's results influence the numbers this week.
Ty, we should mention that the Rams are moving right now. We're seeing that come to 3 against the board at home to Washington. I actually like the dog in that one, but just to let you know that if you want to get your wager down, Rams are moving to 3.
May have to try and get a little first-half angle there and hope that McVay doesn't have a game plan for Jay Gruden right out of the gate.
There he goes, Todd Furman of the Bet the Board podcast, and of course, toddstake.com. Todd, thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week, pal.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the games today.